This is the Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Yes, people. Welcome back to VAR You Serious, brought to you on FUBAR Radio. Myself, Cecil G, of course, and we've got my good friend, co-host and producer, Kim Kafari, in the place to be. Before we get into what we're going to have to talk about, this is the day where we actually spoke at last week, the winner of the World Cup, who's it going to be? We was really wrong, by the way. We'll get into that in a second. We'll definitely go back and talk about and discuss that because we made our predictions last week. But before that, I want to get a check-in. Obviously, I've just come back from Monaco, France, south of France. I was also in Cannes. I was also in Nice. And I was living the bougie life, the upper echelons life, the different tax bracket. That's the sort of life I was living.
That's the life you live every day. This is just a slight extension.
You can't let them know that. That's not true.
That's the life you live.
I'm struggling.
If you're struggling, I don't know what the rest of us are up to.
It's hard in this world, in this UK times, and the club. Nah, joking. I mean... It was lovely. I know this, of course, this is a football show, but I just want to briefly touch on just E1 Boat Series, which is an electric boat racing competition. They go all over the world and they do races. It's like Formula One, but on the sea, or like E1, Formula E1, but obviously on the water. Incredible stuff. Just to reference it to football, in some senses, the team owners are people like Will Smith. That's not football, but Will Smith. They have Thibaut Courtois has a shared team of Kyle Kuzma, who's an NBA player. Very strange. I don't know how they link, but they own a team. Didier Drogba has a team, which is really nice. Rafa Nadal, obviously a tennis superstar. There was loads of people. LeBron James, Tom Brady. So there's a lot of athletes that own, especially the ones at the top of their game, own E1 boat teams, which was really nice. I got to host it. I was the main host. Met some famous people. Will Smith was there and that, and got to enjoy Monaco for the first time. My first time there. And it's expensive, but I highly recommend. But yeah, so that was my weekend. I landed back yesterday and I made sure I was back in time for the World Cup final. Obviously thinking England going to be there when I booked the job. I was like, I have to be back for the final. England could be in the final. That obviously didn't happen. But we made it back for an amazing game. Well, actually, no. It was a game that stunk like bum. But we'll get into that. Kim, what have you done? Good weekend? But yeah. Before we get into the World Cup.
It's my 30th birthday this weekend. Yeah, didn't even say happy birthday, but that's all right.
I didn't even...
The things I do for this guy.
No, sorry. I didn't even... Where was my invite?
I don't even get a happy birthday.
Where was my invite to whatever you did?
It was just a small thing.
Oh, that's what they all say. That's how they get out of it. Thing. Happy... That is poor of me, by the way. But that means I can treat you. So it's good.
Yeah.
I can get you... I don't know
present.
What... Yeah, I'll figure out what that is. What do you need? What do you want? Live or there? What do you need or want? There's no expense.
I don't need anything from you, Seth.
No, but what would you
smile is enough.
No, stop that. What did you... Okay, did you get a gift that stuck in your mind?
I got a signed John Stones England shirt.
Oh, he was actually just talking about how much he loves John Stones and he
might
come to Arsenal.
Absolutely insane. And then I got three different varieties of Man City kit. Bro, I swear, are so easy to buy for.
I try and tell people, don't buy me nothing to do with Arsenal.
I like football and I like golf. I like City and I like golf. So I'm the easiest person in the world to buy stuff for.
Okay, I can get you something for golf.
Give me some golf stuff.
Just let me know. Give me a brand. I'll buy some.
Nah, you're too kind. You're too kind. But nah, it was a good weekend. I mean, Thursday, Roxy surprised me. She's like, plan this day. And then we went back near ours to this pub. And then my family and some of my friends were there, which I didn't expect, which is well
nice. Oh, that's nice.
It was so
and she
cute.
Arranged it all?
She'd arranged it all. Yeah, superstar. I didn't know any of it. And then Saturday just went out all day, really. You can hear my voice.
Look at you now. I can see you. He reflected on where on that Saturday. You could see he went, oh, that was it was a long day.
Oh, not again. Honestly, we are so lucky, aren't we, in this job,
massively.
That we talk about football all the time. But I'd say, as a City fan who worked at AFTV and DR Sports pretty much every day for the last 3 months of the season, going straight from that to America for the World Cup.
Yep.
And then back here working the World Cup, I am spent.
Knackered.
Yeah. I am spent. Yeah. I can't wait for just a little week break before we get back into it. Something new, exciting for the season, which I've told you about, which we can't reveal on air yet.
Yeah.
But that will be exciting when we go again.
Okay.
But yeah, good weekend.
Good weekend. Have a happy belated birthday. Apologies.
And no.
Because it's your 30th, I'll definitely get you something nice. So you just let me know what you want. I'll sort that. But it's been good. 30. It's now you're...
It's crazy.
I'm 25 plus that, but I'm 25, so I don't really know how it feels. But it's life
It's life changing.
Yeah.
I do feel like, honestly, I had a phone call with someone at Sky last week. Yeah. And I said, I'm 30 now. Like, this is it. Like, I need,
give me more money.
I need every shift. I need every shift I can get my hands on. Yeah. Like, I can't, I'm not that young guy in the industry anymore. Yeah. I'm now an adult.
Adult, yeah.
In the industry. Like, I need, give me that work. I need to get better. I need to improve. This is like the time to make it, these next 5 years.
Just on that, yeah. The reason I'm laughing is because I'm like, I've been in a moment just like that. I'm like, oh no, I can't, like, not that I can't be with the kids. I can be with the kids and still be at, like, I'm that Gen Z cool guy, but like, they keep calling me uncle now. And also, like, yeah, you go to jobs where you go, like, you have to do a bit serious at times. Yeah, yeah. You can't just be vibes and laughing. Like, you have to be like, no, you have a solid role. And yeah, you've got to be serious. Like, even for instance, just quickly, AFTV obviously looking for a new host or presenter, actually new presenter. And Robbie was like, yeah, I need you to go, want you to go through it, and, you know, we can go through them and pick. I'm like, me?
Yeah, yeah. I'm still
a kid. Yeah, why am I picking people for jobs? No, I don't want to be doing that. That's responsibility.
I also think that COVID took 3 years away, so I'm technically 27.
Facts.
Because those 3 years, I didn't do any growing. I couldn't grow. I couldn't evolve. So I'm mentally still 27. I look like I could be. Bro, I got ID'd in America every single place I went. And when I was at the stadium in New Jersey, I tried to buy a beer. She was like, do you have your physical ID? I was like, nah. I was like, do you really think I look 21? She was like, yeah.
Yeah, you do.
I was like,
you do.
Oh, all right. Okay,
it's good genes, brother. You do look young. Maybe not 20. I mean,
the 21's too
young. Yeah, that's
young,
a bit
though.
Too far. But
25 I could be.
You could be 23, 24. Yeah.
So when I go into new jobs, that's how old I am. I don't even believe I'm 30. I don't even believe it. I won't believe it. So
Just don't say it. Just say it. Like,
I might
industry.
Even edit this bit out.
Yeah. You know? I said 25 plus maybe. All right, let's talk about, the World Cup. And I need to ask this question because I was sat at home watching a final yesterday and I was just like, is it acceptable for players to stay and watch the final? For you, if you say it, like, as in your nation's out, let's say England, for instance, because I saw the plane, I saw they tracked obviously the plane back, it was all on social media and stuff when they returned. But is it acceptable for you and people listening, if a player came up and said to the manager, look, I don't want to travel back with the team, I want to watch the final? One, because it's the biggest event in the world, but also, because I don't know why my brain was really trying to work out, like, well, I suppose if there's teammates of, like, your club, you got friends there, but is it acceptable to stay and watch? Where would you watch? You can't just sit in the. Can you just sit in the crowd with everyone else? Can you, like,
I
what?
I don't know, man.
It's weird.
It depends where you got knocked out. I think if you get knocked out in the group stages, you go on a couple week holiday and then you can come back for it. I think that's fine. I think if you're England or France, you just get home.
Really? So if you got knocked out by Argentina, you just.
I wouldn't be able to watch it. If I got knocked out in the semi final by a team like that, I just wouldn't be able to watch it. It wouldn't be fun for me.
Fair.
I wouldn't enjoy it at all.
That's
like, we as fans, we can hate watch, because really, like, we might be emotional and we might be a bit sad,
yeah,
but it's not really, not compared to the players.
No, but John Stones might want to watch Rodri, his companion, playing.
Bro, get me home. They've been playing all season.
No, that's fair.
And they go straight into it. No, I think get me home.
Okay, that's I don't know why my brain was really figuring out, like, what would I do? And I think you're right. I think that's the kind of, that's the key point. Not because the team knocked me out, because I think I could. As a player, it will hurt, but if you're caught on camera watching it, I think it throws up a load of questions if you're still there, watching it. But I think the main reason is they've done so much football. Surely you want to get back and enjoy. Fair enough. I have friends that are around footballers, or friends, that are footballers, and they told me that, I didn't know this, but Arsenal are currently on a, like, not a secret, I don't think it's a secret, but they're on pre-season at the moment. They're in, they've actually come back now. Malaga. Is that where it is? Is that where everyone goes? Yeah, no, it's not Malaga. Marbella.
Yeah.
That's where they are. They were doing pre-season, like, slight pre-season training, because a few of my friends were over there who played for Arsenal. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But obviously, some of the other players, they're not, now that they're back, they don't have to play until October, which is a bit of a worry for me as an Arsenal fan. But we'll talk about transfers and what that looks like later on in the show. But World Cup talk. Best World Cup? Worst World Cup? Middle? Where are you at?
I think it was the best World Cup.
What?
I think it was the best World Cup that I've seen in my lifetime. I think on the pitch, I think it was the best World Cup. I think they were mad.
Wow.
Do you really not think so? No way.
I think the Qatar one was. Do you know what?
I think the draw. No, but no, right. So let me just explain.
Right, yeah. Right. And we've got to talk about the halftime because we got excited for what we've...
Firstly, the final was really poor.
Okay,
which is why I don't think you can call it the best ever because I do think the final needs to be really good.
Facts.
But I would say that like in my lifetime, I think the quality of games and the quality of excitement was way better than any other World Cup I've seen. There were more games which I thought was going to dilute it, but it didn't. It made it better. You had stories like Cape Verde. You had stories like Curaçao. Drawing, you know, you wouldn't really expect any of these things to happen.
Are you swayed by being over there in the first half as well? Or not?
I'm pretty sure for me, it's the first World Cup I've done. I loved my 3 weeks in America. Sick. I went to the games. Obviously, that has made it a better experience for me than it would have for any fan who was back at home.
Yeah.
But I do just think football in merit-wise, on the pitch, I do think that most games were really, really exciting. Yeah. Like even our game, even England-Argentina was an amazing game. Spain-France in the semi-final was quality. Brazil beat Japan in the last minute. Morocco knocked out Netherlands after a 95th minute header. Like all of this kind of stuff. Like we had, like there were so many storylines.
Yeah.
There were so many amazing moments. There were so many little niche moments. I think it was really good. I also think because Americans are so camp and weird and they love entertainment and they spend so much money on it, it made it like a proper celebration.
It did.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay, well, I really enjoyed it. I don't want to take that away from anyone, by the way. I'm not saying it, not taking away from anyone. I don't want anyone to think that. I don't think it was up there with one of the top World Cups I've witnessed as well, especially live, my first World Cup as well, witnessing live. Just the final kind of, the back ends of the tournament kind of let me down. But that's, again, I think I'm half swayed by being in the group stages for the first couple of weeks in America. But yeah, we can do some more World Cup chat, but I think we should focus in a little bit on the final because there was a lot of things to discuss. There was an opening. I missed the close. They said, because Speed did the closing ceremony, but I missed that. I don't know when that was.
That was before the game.
That's what. So I was waiting for it like an hour before kickoff, and I saw on Twitter like it was ready done. I was like, how can it, is it a closing ceremony? But I suppose it's as it starts. But I thought it was going to be to close the World Cup. Anyway, so I missed that. But they obviously delayed kickoff for. Well, I saw Tom Cruise do a
speech.
What was he doing?
Also,
I don't actually mind. It's so random.
I don't mind it, but at least parachute in.
Yeah.
Or abseil in. You can't just be there talking. Yeah. Like, you're not famous for talking. You're famous for doing stunts.
Yeah, that's true.
A stunt.
Yeah, rolling with it. Drop. Have some explosions as well.
You can't just talk. Like, you're not that good at talking. A motivational speech. Yeah. I don't need that from Tom Cruise.
That's quite funny, actually.
I want to see Tom Cruise on fire, flying through the sky and landing somehow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd like that. I'd say this is the pressure of the World Cup. That's what you should be doing. Yeah, like going, jumping through cars.
Exactly.
That would have been sick. To be fair, that one threw me. The Louis Vuitton case. There's so much random things.
The Louis Vuitton case was the worst thing about this whole World Cup.
I just don't know why. I saw it come out. I was like, what is in there? Then I started piecing things together. I was like, oh my God. Wait, they might have the World Cup in there. And I was like, and then they opened it. I was like, oh my, they do. I was like, I haven't seen Louis Vuitton this whole World Cup. And then for the final,
but I thought when I saw that case, I honestly just said to myself, I was like, please be the ball. Don't be the World Cup. Please be the ball. Please be the ball. That's what I thought it was going to be. And then it was a World Cup trophy. Just like, fucking hell. Is that the most capitalistic thing you've ever seen in your whole life?
There's so many moments.
So
I was just
ridiculous.
Like, what is happening? What
so
is happening?
I loved it though.
Yeah. No, it was, do you know what? We said last week, I said you're the problem when you complain about, you know, the traditionalist fans of like football and stuff. But I enjoyed those things. Kickoff being delayed was a bit of a, not a shame because it didn't really affect me that much. I was still like up to watch it. And it was only like 5 or 6 minutes. But like, if you're going to schedule in all these extras, which I love, just get the schedule right. Just make sure things are on time and smooth. But it was good. It was that whole build up, as in until the game. I did enjoy that. I must say, I was loving it.
And the game was so bad.
So bad.
So glad we had a half an hour half time to give us some entertainment.
But
let's talk about the game.
Wait, the game.
Let's talk about the game. Argentina didn't come to play at all. They're massive shit houses, and I really wanted them to win the last World Cup just because I wanted Messi to have a
agreed.
World Cup. But now I'm watching them, like the way they played against us, like punching people in the back of the head, ridiculous. Going in for fouls, the way the referee didn't give them any yellow cards towards the end. It was just ridiculous yesterday. It was like anti-football. It was really frustrating. And I get what they were trying to do, but to not have a shot until the 117th minute not just a shot on target, to not even have one shot
terrible.
Is pathetic.
I will say, I will counter you and say, hey, Paraguay did this and you loved it. So
Paraguay did it because they don't have the quality of player.
Fair.
Every one of their starting 11 is worse than every one of Germany's starting 11. Way worse. way worse. Argentina are a good team. They've got still the best player in the world. And they didn't pass to him once. They've got Julian Alvarez, who people want to sell, spend 120, 130 Ridiculous. Million on. He didn't touch the ball once.
Ridiculous.
So it's like, it was frustrating because, as I say, like every game in this World Cup for me, apart from maybe Portugal-Spain, which is one of the worst games I've ever watched, most of the other games have been really, really exciting and they've really brought the drama. And the first 10 minutes were good, weren't they? Spain had a few chances. Argentina went up the other end and he thought, oh, okay, maybe something can happen here. And then they just killed the game. I mean, they defended really well.
They did because Spain had a lot of possession. I think they hit like 11 shots as well in the first, like, by round half time. And you know, like you said, Argentina had any shots on target or any shots at goal. So I thought, oh, Spain, I don't know, when it first started, I was like, okay, Spain looked like this is going to be their game. They might even embarrass Argentina, but it just became of a game of, like you just said, making it ugly, anti-football, which I know a lot of the commentators were saying. It was frustrating. We obviously saw Messi trying to get Cucurella sent off, and there's little bits I just didn't like. The refereeing, though, not even who is it? Who was the guy? One of the players that just should have been red carded, like.
And
the
Paredes,
and they were saying this is like the sixth time. And after, then he's fighting. He's actually like punching people. Where was the red card after the game as well? Like,
apparently he did get sent off after the game, but
no, that wasn't shown at all.
It was never like, shown.
Because my brain went, you can red card easily. Like, it's right in front of the referee. Easy red card, free Argentinian players right now. Yeah. He didn't. But now I was like, well, where does the red card go? Where does it go? Like. Does it transfer over to the next international tournament? Does it transfer over to your club? So I was quite bewildered by that actually. Yeah. But they should have issued those red cards. The tactics were ridiculous. You see them running past. You see them elbowing people. You see, I'm just like, you're seeing all of this. It's right in front of you. And the referees, I don't know. Sometimes you can stamp it out early, but they didn't seem to want to do that. But
do you think there's anything in the Argentinian conspiracy theory?
I don't like conspiracy theories.
Neither do I, bro. But they've had mad amounts of luck.
I know.
It's not even like... I don't even think any of the huge, big decisions of Super League gone their way. But every single 50-50 goes their way.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, you really rarely see that.
Do you know what? I just think... I hate conspiracies, but they were doing so much ugly stuff and dirty tactics. For them to not have as many yellow cards or even red cards, even though they'd someone, obviously, Enzo Fernandez, rightly so, by the way,
couldn't happen to a nicer bloke.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't know how to say it about because I can't say I hate anyone. I can't say that because I don't really know that I hate doing that. But from just what you see, you can dislike someone, and he's one that
could not have happened to a nicer bloke.
I was so happy to see that happen, that record. And it was just, that challenge. He sent the guy flying.
Sent the guy into space.
Yeah, he didn't even need. He could have pulled out, but he was like, nope, I'm going all the way for it. And then obviously, flipped the player. But I don't know about. I don't know if it's a conspiracy, but I understand when Messi does something, a foul. I understand refs having been a bit, I understand that.
Me too.
Because I
would be the same. I could never send Messi
if
off.
If he did a tackle and looked all, because he has that like, you like young, like, I'm sorry sort of face anyway.
He's
and he's
so
also
cute.
The world, yeah.
He's so cute, isn't he? He's the best player in the world.
I don't think we can call him. It's the word to describe. It's the right word to describe. It's cute, but if he looked, if he did a bad challenge, he looked at you. I'd be like, bro, you're messy. I am not going to send you off. So that I understand. I can understand that. But some of the other players are so evil and just you just know that they're doing it for a nasty or bad reason. There's a serious. Cynical side behind some of the challenges or the dirty tactics and the ways they play, that it does question how they're getting away with it so much. But Messi won. If Messi does anything, I can let that go by.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It was sort of like good versus evil yesterday, wasn't it? Like we've seen all the Argentina players with the racist chants. We've seen them fouling. We've seen all of this like dark arts stuff, which I like in football to some extent. And you are right. When Paraguay did it, I did actually kind of rate
you,
it.
Yeah, you said I loved that.
And maybe,
You made a good justification for it because I was going to try and push you.
I just think they didn't come out to play football. And what frustrates me, and we saw it a lot actually at this World Cup, and we kind of saw the reverse in the England game, which we'll have to talk about after the break because I've got some things to say on that. But
oh yeah, of course.
It was really frustrating. It was really, really frustrating that as soon as they started to attack, they had two really good chances. And it's like, just do that 10, yeah. 15 minutes earlier and you'll probably score.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really understand this. It's this mentality, which I think has been bred into football quite a lot recently, which is like being too scared to lose that you're afraid to attack to try and win.
It outweighs the,
And it's quite frustrating. So I think the game was really disappointing. I think we were all expecting a bit of a barnstorm. I think we expected it to go to extra time. I think we expected a few goals. I think we expected a bit more. I think Spain were pretty poor going forward.
Well, that was going to be, just before we go to break, because we've got England after, are Spain that good? I don't know. Because you look at all their players and you say, they're good, but they're not.
Their defence is amazing.
And they've got defenders
again. Pau Cabasi and Laporte were incredible.
Cabasi was very good.
Pedro Porro and Cucurella were amazing. Rodri was obviously one.
Rodri was phenomenal.
He was insane.
Cucurella, he had a good tournament, and so did Pedro Porro attacking wise. But these are, to me, average. That's harsh to say. They're good players, but I don't think there's not world class. Like, France have a world class team. I look at Spain. I don't say you're world class, but they beat people like France.
They've probably got, if we're being completely
honest. And
Lamine
wasn't good. Let's be real.
No, he wasn't.
So, the whole tournament. So,
I mean, look, so
are they that good?
Rodri's not that exciting, but he's probably the best player in the world. He probably is just the best player in the world. He won the Ballon d'Or a couple of years ago. He's now won the World Cup, winning the player of the tournament, the Euros winning the player of the tournament, the Champions League winning man of the match. He's won the treble. He's got the Centurions. He's won four Premier Leagues. He's won countless cups. Like, he's one of the most decorated players of all time. And in every single one of those games, Champions League final, man of the match, World Cup final, man of the match, Euros final, man of the match. Ridiculous.
I don't think people saw how good he was, because, as in, for that game, because I have a new appreciation for DMs because I watched Declan Rice. He's unbelievable. We've played the game. I understand football, watched for a long time, so I understand, like, that position, what you're being asked to do, if you execute it well, I appreciate it. So, Rodri yesterday, like, He breaks up play. Ridiculous. And when people can't actually move him. I thought, like, I know he's big and tall, but he must be so strong.
And it's funny because, like, he's obviously the best in his position in the world, but it's like, Declan Rice is, like, he's quite good.
He's good.
He's a good player, but he's like, Rodri's like 1,000 times better than him. The difference in standard from Rodri to the next best CDM is like absolutely enormous. The gap is huge.
This season he wasn't.
He's injured.
He injured his ACL.
There's not really much you can do. This was him back to his best. Yeah, absolute jokester.
He didn't seem like he was everywhere, but he was in the right places.
But I agree with you about Spain.
I just don't know if
But they're a good team. They're a team unit. That's what matters.
That's what matters. All right, well, after the break, we have to obviously talk about, I am going to say, the best game of the World Cup with England.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
Okay, time to talk England. I watched this, by the way, in France. Of course, I've just come back yesterday. I watched this game in France. I sat in a French pub that was absolutely rammed. All the screens were outside, bar one, which was inside, which I got to watch inside, because if I was outside, it was just, you couldn't sit down. There was no seats. People were standing. The crowd was massive just to watch that game. And I respect it, because the game was phenomenal. Actually, one thing I will admit, won't admit this anywhere else, I missed the first goal because I was trying to park my line bike. Big up the line bike community. I jumped up my line bike and I was like, and my friend was like, oh, why are you rushing? I was like, bro, I need to watch this game. Like, we need to analyse this stuff because that's part of my job. And then he was like, don't worry, he's literally going to miss like 2 minutes. And then I see the notification, Declan Rice scores.
Did people in France care about that game? Were they actually chanting?
Yeah.
Because we watched outside in a massive pub in London and there was like 200-300 people there. No one was really that bothered.
Oh, no, I think I wasn't bothered until I saw how bothered they were. Well, maybe because I was sat next to a person who was really winding. Well, I was winding him up, but he was getting really annoyed that I was an England fan and he was a French fan. But I was like, they were taking it serious. They were saying, when every time France scored, they were going mad.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't take that game seriously.
In fact,
to be honest, I don't even really want to talk about that game. I'd rather talk about the Argentina game. Who cares that we finished third?
No, Kim, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. No, you can't. The like, because.
No. I'm proud of the players.
Yeah.
And the fact that they came back from their disappointment and scored 6 goals against France is ridiculous. I appreciate that the game was very, very fun. It was a good game. Jude Bellingham again proving why he's one of the best. But who gives a shit, lad? This time last week, when we were on this show, we were talking about England being in a World Cup final.
True.
And now we've got this manager at the helm who has done the complete opposite of what he was set out to do. And not only has he done that, he's now gaslighting the entire country. Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You're not saying he has to go, though.
Of 100%.
Nah.
He should walk. He should walk himself.
Euros, man. No, give him the Euros.
What for? He should be honourable enough to know I was brought in to do one job and I failed spectacularly. And not only... I'm not talking about coming third. You're talking about coming third and semis. How? See with your eyes. Gareth Southgate, the two main criticisms of Gareth Southgate was we can never beat a top team. Yeah. We can never beat a top team. And he's too defensive when we go 1-0 up. He's got no bravery. Thomas Tuchel, when he first signed as England manager, criticised Gareth Southgate, saying they were too afraid to lose, that they didn't have the confidence to win. That was one of his first press conferences, his criticism of Gareth Southgate. He's now gone and done exactly that. By the way, that Argentina flop, the 12% in the 12% possession in the last half an hour, that is way worse than losing to Italy on penalties. It's way worse than losing to Spain in the Euros. It's way worse than losing to Croatia in extra time.
You're
way
worse. About this is Thomas gone, isn't it?
Dude, this is the biggest failure. This is the biggest failure of in-game management we've ever seen in our lives in an England game, by far. It's an absolute disgrace. We had 12% possession
after the Euros.
We had 12% possession in the last half an hour. That's completely unforgivable. Anyone who knows about football, anyone who knows, could see that taking off Anthony Gordon is completely insane.
That was mad.
We sat back and invited pressure from the best player in the world. It doesn't make any sense. And then to come out afterwards and say, I have no regrets. I think it was the right decision. And the way he justified it was by saying, oh, but we did that against Mexico and it worked. Oh, but we did that against Norway, but it worked. Yes, Thomas Tuchel, you do understand that management, you have to adjust your style for who you're playing against.
Yeah.
You're playing against the best player in the world. A team who you have seen over the last 2 weeks score last-minute goals and come back. You think it's acceptable to manage like that? It's ridiculous.
What do you not say, though? This hindsight, again, is a good thing. Like, He believed in his players to be able to see out that win because Spain did it. Spain never struggled when it came to defending against Argentina. Argentina didn't really cause them any problems. So he might be thinking, I know this is after the fact, but he might be thinking, well, my players are good enough. We're 1-0 up. They should have been able to see out this game.
They would have seen it out if he'd made the right changes or made no changes.
He could have made no changes. I don't know why. Anthony Gordon
taking off Anthony Gordon is insane. Taking off the only player with pace is completely nuts.
Yeah,
none of the substitutions made sense.
You can't give him the Euros, even though, like,
what for?
Because I just think
he's just going to do the same thing again.
What happens if the argument is it's his first major tournament with England? Give him this extra competition. Dude. Bit of time.
Dude, anyone can lose in 90 minutes. It's fine. It's football. I understand that that happens. But if you've been brought in to do a job and that one job is to give players confidence in these moments and you get to that moment for the first time in your international management career and you take off all your attackers and bring on only defenders and then because of that we have 12%. Not only that, Cecil, since we scored, guess how many successful completed passes? Since we scored. Since we scored the goal, which against, I think was in the 66th minute. Or 62nd minute. So it's about 35 minutes.
Under 10? 10?
Two passes. Jeez. Two successful passes. That's unforgivable.
But how is...
That's unforgivable.
Is that on the players, though?
No, of course it's not on the players, because the players are seeing this manager make these changes. He's also seeing them drop from there the way back to the back line. So there's not really that much that they can do.
Do you think did the France game, the third place player, not change your mind of like, oh, we actually...
No, it made me more angry. I thought, all right, okay, so Bukayo Saka plays and he scores a
hat-trick. Yeah.
So could he not have come on at some point?
That is a very good point.
Marcus Rashford plays brilliant. Could he not have just come on? Could these players not have just come on?
Yeah, man. Yeah, Declan Rice obviously plays stays. Yeah, and he done well as well in that game.
Just ridiculous.
It was very interesting.
Like, performing, it's a friendly. That's a friendly game. It's a friendly. No one cares if you finish third or fourth. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, if you're
so performing well in a friendly, doesn't move me at all.
That's a yeah, but they got
big moments.
With... Mm.
Big moments, and I'll be honest, we will never see us win the World Cup. We'll never win the World Cup. This is our last chance. I do actually think that because you look right. Harry Kane won't be there. We've got three world-class players, right, at England. We've got three world-class players. Harry Kane, John Stones and Jude Bellingham. They are, over the last 10 years, they're the only ones who have regularly been at top teams and regularly been winning trophies. So, that's just the truth.
I'd throw Saka in there, and I think I think he's world-class, but I think he's injured. I think he's leading towards...
Just have a normal conversation where you don't have to throw an Arsenal player in. Saka is nowhere near world-class. He's nowhere near the level of world-class. He's an average winger. He's a
John Stones is world-class.
Of course he is. He's played for every single game for England because he's world class. Played every single game he's fit for at City. He's won the treble. He got man of the match in the Champions League final playing centre mid. Putting up stats that only Lionel Messi could do. I'm not even discussing this. John Stones, Harry Kane and Jude Bellingham are the only world class players.
Yeah, the other two, I'm just trying to think of...
John Stones is not going to be able to play in the next World Cup.
What? Why?
Harry Kane won't play in the next World Cup.
How old is John Stones now?
31.
He's 31. Yeah,
Harry Kane's 30.
Like 28.
John Stones is 31. Neither of them are going to play in the next World Cup. So we've got Jude Bellingham. Look at the strikers we've got.
I know. I saw this conversation. Obviously, conversation's been going around the sports as well. And
who's
also,
coming through?
There's not a striker. Max Dalman. But it's not striker. Again, there's a midfielder. There's young. I don't know if they're going to be. Well, it's to me too young for world class. Well, you never know in 4 years what the team's going to look like. I think you're right, though, in the sense of...
No Harry Kane.
That's a big thing. Jude Bellingham, he'll be
there or thereabouts, and he'll always perform for England as he does. But realistically, if you be...
But who's coming
honest,
through?
This is our chance.
France is still going to be amazing.
France will be amazing. They're all young. They're going to be top of the game. They'll be better. Spain won't get any worse.
No, but they're not... Spain have a lot of older... Yeah, more senior players. I still don't think they're that good of a nation. It sounds so stupid because they've won the Euros, the European champions, and they're obviously, of course, World Cup champions now, or world champions. But yeah, I don't know if they next World Cup they're going to be at the same level. Obviously, Argentina will fall off. Portugal will probably, obviously, all their superstars are going. Brazil.
Belgium will fall off.
Yeah.
Brazil are in a tough spot.
France are going to be, they might be on a run of domination for a little bit.
I think they could be.
I really think they could. But we should be in those. I don't know why I back this nation so much. I just think England should still be there. Euros, they should win the Euros. And that sounds mad because France are still going to be in it, but they should win the Euros next. If they don't, then I think you're right. I think it's going to be a long... I don't think we see us winning a major tournament for, hopefully in our lifetimes, but for a very, very long time.
I don't think we'll win the Euros. Why would we? We won't have a proper striker. I mean, even Harry Kane in the last two games in the semi-final court, he's rubbish. He was dropping so deep. Like what are we going to do?
What are our English strikers? Ivan Toney, Ollie Watkins.
Rashford a bit. I mean, Tony's...
The striker 30. Market is just... Yes,
striker market's rubbish. I mean, honestly, it's really, really frustrating because, in my opinion, that game was in the palm of my hands when we went 1-0 up.
Yeah.
If we'd just made the right substitutions, we would have been in the World Cup final. And that has to be on the manager. And it's fine to make mistakes. Gareth Southgate made mistakes. Gareth Southgate owned his mistakes. But don't come out after with the bullshit trying to gaslight everyone, saying, oh, the substitutions weren't the problem. I had no regrets. Yeah. Be honest.
Yeah.
Just be honest with yourself.
So I'm really just stuck on that conversation of strikes. I know, like, I guess Liam Delap, he ain't going to be world-class, though. He ain't going to be Harry Kane. We have to do the France model and have a false nine. Or just have a really good...
Bellingham?
Yeah, we're going to have to do that. We have to put our superstars at... Mbappe is their goal outlet. Obviously, Dembele had a great... They got such good attackers that they don't really need a striker. We're going to have to find that model.
But, you know, let's be honest. Marcus Rashford is okay. Anthony Gordon is all right. Saka's decent player. Morgan Rogers is quite good, but not really a winger.
Yeah.
Harry Kane's older now, but is still great. Ollie Watkins is all right at best. Ivan Toney's okay, but playing in Saudi. Like, I don't see how we have a good enough attack in the next Euros to possibly go on to win it. Who's coming through?
Who's coming through? That's what I'm
Max Diamond is what, 60?
Yeah, he's not going to be.
He's not going to be ready.
Yeah.
I actually.
He'll be ready, but he won't be. He's not going to be the
same. It's like a list of one. I actually can't think of anyone.
Noni Madueke is not going to be.
Noni Madueke is okay. At very best, he's okay. Hey. At very best, a lot of people would say worse than okay. Like, really, where's the attacking talent that's coming through?
I'm really trying to think as we're talking. Like winger-wise, yeah. I'm going back to Sterling. Raheem Sterling can't come back. He's obviously done. Where are we going? Morgan Gibbs-White, he's not really...
Tuchel hates him for some reason.
I don't know why. Yeah,
Cole Palmer, Tuchel doesn't like for some reason.
Foden.
Foden has been rubbish for the last 2 years.
It's not Euro. It's not giving Euro...
It's not
winning.
Euro,
not
giving Euro. I don't want to be too depressing.
Yeah,
about
no,
the
it's
thing.
Making me feel. It's making, you're bringing me down a lot here.
Like we're all going, we'll win the Euros because it's at home. It's like, well, all of our best players will be older and we've got no good young players coming through. So I don't see how that's going to happen.
Yeah, who are the British young wing? I mean, we've got a. Blimey.
Is there anyone?
That is mad. I might have to do a Google. Maybe we're missing something. I don't want to be that down. Forgive us to the listeners because, I'm actually quite a. I'm happy with the achievement of not bailing out and getting fourth and getting third place. But I think I'm trying to have hope and optimism going into the next competition, which will be the Euros. But now thinking about it, and I forgot it was on home soil. You remind me that. It's a lot of pressure. I don't know if they can't sack Thomas Tuchel. I know you want that because I just don't think, who replaces him?
They're not going to.
Right.
And that's fine.
But he has to win the Euros.
He
has to.
He just has to. Or he will be gone. And that's fine. I mean,
that's fair.
Look, the truth is like,
but you're saying he has to. We're always saying he has to, but then you've just gone through.
I don't think he will. The truth of the matter is, right, we're a country of 60 million people, okay?
Yeah.
We came third in the World Cup. That's pretty amazing to be the third best country, especially when the two that were in the final are Spain, who have won the World Cup before, won three Euros before. The other one's Argentina, who have had the two greatest players of all time.
And the current holders.
We just beat France, who everyone were favourites. So it's not like... It's
not all doom and gloom.
No, but it's not doom and gloom at all when you look objectively outside at the tournament. It's great. We came third with the third best footballing country in the world. Wow. We're smaller than the other countries. It's a good achievement.
Yeah, FIFA ranking we're fourth. We need to win.
However, the way in which we did not get to that final and the words that the manager said when he took over about the previous manager, to then go and do the same but 10 times worse and to then gaslight the country about it and say that that's not the reason we lost when we all know that is the reason we lost, that's not acceptable. To come out and be like, you know what, the pressure got to me, I got nervous and I got it wrong.
Would you really respect that or would he get slated more?
100%
I think the fans and the media would hammer him if he was like, I got it wrong. Then they'll be saying, well, go, leave.
But everyone's saying that now anyway. Yeah, no one's respecting it.
It's a lose-lose in my opinion. But anyway, that is... Yeah, let's come back and discuss the team of the tournament just to close.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
Okay, team of the tournament, Kim. It's hard to not... You kind of want to go to the win. But I just said Spain, I don't think are that good, so... I don't know. I don't know if it's his vibes, if it's the true team of the tournament. It's going to be a mix and blend, really, because, like, I would love to put Vizinha, or whatever, the keeper from Cabo Verde, in. But
we'll do position by position to speed it up. So you can start with goalkeeper if you want.
Yeah, I liked him in goal.
It's a good story.
But it's not. It's not the true team of the tournament. But it's just. It's a good.
Made an insane amount of saves.
Correct.
And I think we've got to do team of the tournament on individual performance.
Okay.
I'm fine for you to have him.
Perfect.
I think left back and right back. You just have to go for Spain's full back.
Yeah, Cucurella and Pedro Porro.
You might.
Pedro Porro definitely. I think.
Dude, you might actually have to go a whole Spanish back four. They conceded one goal in the whole tournament.
We can put in there.
Porro was great.
Yeah, I'll put it, them two. But I think we can miss out the second.
You think
centre back?
But I thought Laporte was amazing as well.
Oh, of course you did, Laporte.
No. I mean, I wasn't even a massive fan of him, and I wasn't that upset when he left City. But he was pretty good this tournament.
I liked Saliba and Upamecano. I know when Saliba was out the side, they conceded six.
Could we put John Stones in there? Though?
John Stones, you could put in there.
Some
and even Upamecano, like he was so physical. Like I just like the aggression. We should do the Spain back line. But I think we can mix up. We can put a Stones and we can put a Saliba in there, or we can put a... Yeah?
Yeah, we'll do that. I knew.
That's compromise. That's City and Arsenal. We can compromise.
Centre defensive mid. There's no point even talking about. It's Rodri.
It's Rodri, yeah, fair.
Then Jude Bellingham ahead of him.
Oh, I keep saying it's hard as I thought. Okay, so who else is a magician in that midfield? Can you put a...
I wouldn't put any of the Spanish players in there.
Now, Messi needs to go in the side, but you can obviously put... Most people say put him on the wing. But I think he was just drifting into so many pockets.
I think this second centre mid spot is the last spot, because the front three is really obvious, right?
The front three is really obvious.
The three top goal scorers, right? It's obviously Mbappe, Haaland, and Messi. Mbappe on the left, Haaland up front, Messi on the right. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, we've got Jude now. We've got Harry Kane.
We've got Jude and Rodri. So we need this second midfield spot.
See, I like Gilberto Mora.
The little Mexican.
Yeah, the young Mexican. But I don't know if he caused enough.
It's a nice story.
It is a good story. I like Gilberto Mora. Is there any... Who else? Why? There must have been like a...
Michael Olise dropped off.
He weren't good.
He wasn't great. He weren't good.
He was good at the beginning.
He was.
But he weren't good.
No, he wasn't great. I don't think any of the Argentina players were actually that great.
There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way we put him on.
Because Enzo scored a bang against us, and people would put an argument for.
I'll tell you, he was good. Bruno Guimaraes was very good, but then they got knocked out in the round of 16. He was.
That's early, though, isn't it?
It's too early. But
he got a lot of us. He got four assists in the corner.
Yeah, it's too early though.
Who is the other midfielder then? I want Gilberto Mora, but that's where I'm at. But I'm thinking there must be people listening screaming that, like, but I don't think there is. Was Xhaka? No, isn't that? No, he didn't really do much either. Other nations? Am I missing one of the African nations who had a really good midfielder?
Diamande, but he's not a midfielder, is he? Young Diamande.
There was. Okay, forgive us, people. There is names, but I'm just. Who's the one that? Nah. He wasn't phenomenal.
I'm on Gilberto Mora. You know Mora,
just for the storyline. Yeah, he's a youngster. Mora. Fair enough. He's the youngest youngest international World Cup player for Mexico. 17 years old. Give it to him. Give it to him.
Well, right. We mentioned someone there, which leads us nicely into talking about the Premier League season.
Oh,
we mentioned
yes.
Bruno Guimaraes. 60 million. It looks like you might be getting him for.
Amazing. I'd go to 80 million. And if we don't get him, there's been uproar this weekend. I've held my tongue because I'll be honest, to Morgan Rogers, I think I said it on the show, I'm not as interested anymore. I wasn't that, I'm over the hype.
It's a bit mental, isn't it?
But 117 million.
The thing is, I think it's good because like me and you work on a sports radio station and we like talking about football, so it's a good talking point.
Yeah.
I do just think conversations around money for transfers just need to stop happening. Well, it doesn't matter because every single one of them is mental
no,
now.
No, but it's ridiculous now. Yeah, but that's... Yeah, but
no, but it's going to get no, worse. But we should need to just accept it.
No, but there needs to be voices saying this is going too far. Where do you draw the line?
Dude, the line is nowhere near. The line is nowhere near. Kylian Mbappe got bought for like 200 million.
Yeah, but he's one of the world's best players.
I know, but it's just numbers.
Morgan, Kim, it's just numbers. 117 million. Yeah. Do you know how much money that is?
No, we just bought Elliot Anderson for 160.
You are ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It was 116, I thought it was 125.
116. So he's
the British transfer record then?
Well, Morgan Rogers is now, yeah. But the thing is,
it's stupid.
The price is the price.
But it's not the actual. But that's not the freaking price it should be.
No, of course not. But what's the point in even talking about it? It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother you.
It does because Chelsea fans are now saying food chain. We're the biggest. Hi, he came to us. But it's money is a big factor these players are.
Morgan Rogers chose Chelsea over Arsenal not to do with money. He obviously must have been sold by the Xavi Alonso project, which I think is mad. If I was a player right now, I would be going to Chelsea over Arsenal.
Look at Chelsea.
Look at Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly.
You're by far the favourites to win the league next year. You've just won the league. You're in the Champions League and you've just got to the final of the Champions League. You've got a manager there who's been there for ages and knows the team. I don't know why you would go. I guess for Morgan Rogers, maybe he looks at your style of football and thinks he'd probably have more fun playing for Chelsea, which granted, he might.
He might, but...
He might also look at it and think, well, Arsenal have got these players who are already heroes there. I can be the new one at Chelsea. He might think that.
But they've got Cole Palmer there. He's got this and celebration stuff. He's Cole Palmer's a top player for Chelsea. That he might have to compete. He's going to have to compete with. But then on top of that, Arsenal, the players that were out for the start of the season are in his position. Martin Odegaard might not even be here by the start of the new season. He has so much opportunity to be.
Yeah,
that next. I couldn't believe
Eze is mate. It doesn't make any sense.
But
obviously, Xavi Alonso has said something really
money's
good.
There. I think money's a part to it. I know people keep saying it's not.
Do you actually think that though? Because me and you know a lot of footballers, and we've spoken to a lot of footballers in the past. Money rarely seems like that much of a motivation. I think when it's in Saudi and it's tax free, $300,000 a week. I think obviously that can be a motivation. But when you're deciding between $220,000 a week and $300,000 a week, it doesn't after tax, it doesn't really make that much difference. And I've spoken to loads of footballers who I've always thought like, oh, did you make that decision for that? And it's like, you're getting so much money anyway. Money cannot be the deciding factor between playing in the same city and being in the Champions League for a Premier League team who are favourites of the Premier League and a team who finished 10th last year.
Yeah, no, I think
it can't be the deciding factor.
I do disagree, only because, and you're right, we speak to players, but I just think there'll be terms in contracts that are all money and incentivised, and that sometimes, a lot of the time, does sway players, and they see these long contracts at Chelsea. That sets up for the support for their family to say, okay, well, I'm going to be guaranteed, even though this doesn't always happen. Well, it does, unless you release yourself or you do a mutual termination. Like, all those years at this club, for this money, consistently, honestly, a lot of players say, well, I'm set. So that is a factor. Maybe not the determining factor for Morgan, but I just think that the numbers are getting ridiculous. They really, really are. And that weekend news of him deciding to go to Chelsea, obviously it shook the world of sport, or football, shall I say. Because, like I said, I got messages, like that whole soft food chain, we still got Paul, we finished 10th and all this, and we're still cool. And I also think the main thing is there, what you said. That's why I think money is a factor, because when you look at the two clubs, you can't look at them and say, that is the right. I've looked at players go to Chelsea recently, and the careers have just...
They died.
So I'm just, I don't know. Yeah, that was...
I suppose they got Xavi Alonso, right?
That's the only saving grace. I keep forgetting that as well. And the style he plays, the 4-3-3 and everything, it does make sense in that sense. But apart from that...
Yeah. We've got 1 minute left.
Go on.
So I'm going to quickly ask you, 3 players you want Arsenal to sign?
Oh, I don't know the answer to this. I've got to do this later in my work.
You want Bruno? Definitely.
Definitely want Bruno. That's number one.
You'll win the league if you get
him. I want a left winger, a top one. We're not going to get a Vinny or anyone, but I wouldn't mind Bacola. I think he's good, but I don't think he's so consistent. Like he's not a Saka. He has moments. And then we need, Saliba's got a back injury. Ben White's probably going to go. So we need a defender. Kabasi. just a defender. I haven't got one that's right on the top of my mind right now. But we're definitely going to need a defender in place. Well, Johnny Stones. Please. Bring and give me that England signed shirt as well. Don't say that.
Dude.
Don't say that.
If John Stones goes to Arsenal, you'll never see me again. I'm being deadly serious. I've just hung up his signed shirt on my wall. I would cry.
Bring it here. Give it to me.
Anyway.
General John Stones, they're my three. You can throw in a Marcus Rashford. I mean, it's not an elite signing, but I just want him. I've been campaigning. I was speaking to his brother this weekend. Another little, sorry, name drop. Why not? Just to end. Hopefully any one of those four players would be amazing. None of them are superstars, though. It's really bad of me. I'm really sure the Arts are a superstar, but we're the champions. We are the superstars. On that note, the Premier League will soon return, but obviously there'll be pre-season going on, some pre-season friendlies. We'll be back, as always. I will be not always in a studio because I'll be off to Africa quite soon. But Kim will either be here or be online. Thank you to Kim for joining me. Happy again, belated 30th birthday. Congratulations to Spain on becoming world champions. Congratulations fully. And saving football. It's like the world is heeding. Big up Spain. I'm not impartial. I'm not biased at all, he says. Love you all. Thank you for listening to VRU Serious today on, of course, and as always, on FUBAR Radio. Myself, Sessa G, Kim Kafari. We'll see you again soon. Take care. Love.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.